Thank you, Larry. Good morning. Genesis 22, if you would, please. We're going to be reading the first 14 verses of this most stunning of chapters. Genesis 22, beginning at verse number 1. Words I know familiar with to all of us. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The young man and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. And then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. I don't know why, but every once in a while my thoughts are drawn back to this account. If you were raised like I was raised, if you are a veteran Christian, you have heard countless people share from this chapter. Never gets old. And it's one of the most humbling and stunning reads in all of Scripture. You have undoubtedly heard through the years, many of you, that there are three very critical principles that are introduced to us in these 14 verses. Two of them for the first time as words, and one of them for the first time as a human example. Love is mentioned in Genesis 22. For the very first time. Worship is mentioned here for the very first time. And as a principle, we learn for the first time of obedience and how oftentimes it's costly. This week I was sitting reading this chapter again. I felt very compelled to it. And I read it, and I read it again, and then read it again. And when I read it again last night down in your parking lot, I thought, I've got to share this morning, and we have so little time. In a section that is so filled, but what hit me were these constant repetitions of the place. And so I thought first, in verse number 3, Abraham rising early in the morning and making this preparation, and he arose and he went to the place. It is an unseen place to which he journeyed. And there are so many ways we could apply this, aren't there? You and I get up each morning, and the focus of our day, whatever else requires our time and our energy and our talents and training, we really never lose sight, do we, of an unseen place. It's been a while since I've had a week this eventful. And one of the reasons why it's been so eventful is that starting on Wednesday through Friday morning, we've lost 3 really precious friends. They range in age from 84 to 6. And a really dear friend in Toronto who died in her sleep on Thursday night while her husband's on business in Florida, found the next morning, Friday morning, by her 15-year-old son. She was 48. And I sat on Friday, and all I could say all day long, even so come, Lord Jesus. It's a hurting world. It's a groaning creation. And everywhere you look, there are strong believers who can't understand. They may never know the why behind certain things that we know as human tragedies. But here is one thing that I know. Through all of it, they persevere. And through all of it, there is one thing that takes them from their shattered lives and will eventually bring them through a dark valley and up the mountain. It's a place. And it's a person, and it's unseen. And this morning, sitting back there, I thought, isn't that interesting that the Lord directed my thoughts to a place? Because Monday through Saturday, to varying degrees, we as Christians focus on this place. And this place may be wherever it is, where Christians are gathered together. We come to a place because there's a promised presence of a person right in our midst. It's a glorious place. And we come together to worship a Savior yet unseen with our eyes, the place unseen. The second place, though, is in verse 4. He saw the place afar off. And so, sitting here this morning, and what a wonderful Lord's Supper that was. Great goodness, that was a joy to be here. We missed a Sunday meeting with Christians last week, and so I came in here today a little dry, spongy, and it was unbelievable to be here today. 9 of your men where I live, and you got stuck with me where you live. And I came in today, and it was just like, woof. Everything that I needed to hear, and it was so wonderful. And while I was sitting there, I thought, there's no place on earth where that place to me comes more into view than when I'm sitting here. We look backwards. Several said this morning, what we've been saved from, that's not why we're here, but you can't help but think of it. It's just surreal that we are in this place. We are saved, joint heirs with Jesus of everything that is the Father's. And we come to this place to begin a new week, to celebrate it afresh, the place coming into view. And this morning I sat with a heart rejoicing, literally racing with thanksgiving for the fact that while we mourn, I have several friends who today ain't mourning no more. They're in the very presence of the one that we are worshiping. Finally, they come. In the verse number 5, and Abraham says this to the young men, you stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I want to ask you a question, because we're all human beings, and so is Abraham, a spectacular one, a man whose faith came to be not only tested, but who once upon a time laughed within himself in a lack of faith. But God had given him an extraordinary faith. How many of you, if God had said, take your only son, the one that you waited 100 years to meet, take now your only son and go on a journey to a place you don't know where it is. I do, and I will lead you there. Oh, and when you get there, this young man of 15 or 17 or 18 or 20 or whatever he was, take this child of promise who you love as much or more than any human father has ever loved a son. And when you get to this place, I want you to bind him and lay him on an altar that you're going to build. Oh, and take that dagger that you've just sharpened and plunge it into the chest of your son. Anybody here? Hands up. That would feel like worshiping in a moment like that? I'll put mine down. Stay here with the donkey, he says. We're at the place. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. First mention. And we're going to come back to you. Do you have that kind of faith? Slip your hand up if you do. I want to talk to you afterwards to learn your secrets. But we read in Hebrews 11 that Abraham believed God. It's a three-word in English, gross understatement. Yeah, he did, didn't he? Abraham believed God. Do a little search in the word believed. He had an implicit trust in God that dwarfs anything that I am convinced I have ever known. He trusted God. What did he trust him for? God had made him promises. God had never failed in his promises. And God had told him, look, I want you to go out and look. And if you've been in the Middle East, you know what the sky is like on many nights, clear nights. He said, I just want you to look, stand there, and just look all around at all of the stars. They're innumerable. Don't even try counting them. It's an impossible task. But your descendants will dwarf the number of these stars in the sky. What did Abraham do? An old man with no kids. Abraham trusted God. It's phenomenal to me. I take my spiritual hat off to this man. Stay here, he says to the young men. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Someone has said that we're living in a generation that worships its work, that works at its play. It's an interesting thing to think about, but that plays at its worship. And I am convinced that if we ever feel our worship waning, we need to take our Bibles and just sit for 10 minutes and read this account in Genesis 22. And you know the rest of the story. There is a ram caught in a thicket. And this second most obedient son that I know of in Scripture never said a word, never tried to overpower his elderly father. He submitted. He submitted. And Abraham went so far as to take that dagger and raise it over the chest of his wonderfully beloved son. And I'm wondering how far it was before he started that downward stroke. The voice of God comes. Don't lay your hand on your son. Do him no harm. I have seen that you fear, reverence me. And I am convinced that in that holy moment, somehow God gave Abraham a very complete, incomplete, but special revelation that the day would come when he, the father, would have another son at that very place. And this time there would be no substitute found. We go to it today and we view it on the days that we're allowed in to see the traditional place. Don't know if it's the place indeed. But I've been all over that mountain, the top of it. So it's one of those places where one of the most incredible acts of history, where there were two humans involved, ever took place. But all of those centuries later, at that place, the greatest act that eternity will ever see took place there because they were not mere humans. It's called by the hymn writer that trysting place where heaven's love and heaven's justice met. By faith, we have all been to that place, I hope. We may never see it physically. Doesn't matter. Because of that place, the day is coming when every single one of us that know Christ as Savior will be in that place. And it makes me a little excited. Thank you today, Father, for the incredible privilege of being in Christ. In the midst of a changing world, in the midst, Father, of a very uncertain and often sad world, here we are in the luxury and the joys of this place, remembering one who at that same place died for me, shed his blood for the purchase of our sins, forgiveness, eternal remission. From the bottom of our hearts, again we say thank you in our Savior's precious name.